Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 5, Lord Rishabhdev's teachings, text number
28.
Egam anu sasya atmajan swayam anu shishan api lok anu sas sasunatam ma hanubhava parama suve bhagavan risha adesha upasana shilanam uparata karmanam maha muninam bhakti jnana bhagya lakshanam paramahamsya dharma upa sikshamanaha swa tamayo satajeshtam parama bhagavata bhagavatschana parayanam bharatam dharani palana paramaya vishitya Swayam Bhavana Evor Varita Sadira Matra Parigraha Unmata Iva Gagana Parigana Prakirana Kesha Atmanyaro Pita Aparniyo Brahma Varta Prava Vajja.
Okay. I might just read the translation. That's going to be a very long word for word.
So, Srikanath Goswami said, thus the great well-wisher of everyone, the Supreme Lord Rishabhdev, instructed his own sons. Although they were perfectly educated and cultured, he instructed them just to set an example of how a father should instruct his sons before retiring from family life. Sannyasis who are no longer bound by freedom activity and who have taken to devotional service after all their material desires have been vanquished also learn by these instructions. Lord Rishabhdev instructed his 100 sons, of whom the eldest, Bharata, was a very advanced devotee and a follower of Vaishnavas. In order to rule the whole world, the Lord enthroned his eldest son on the royal seat. Thereafter, although still at home, Lord Rishabhdev lived like a madman, naked and with disheveled hair. Then the Lord took the sacrificial fire within himself and he left Brahmavarta to tour the whole world. Purport. Actually, the instructions given to Lord Rishabhdev's sons were not exactly meant for his sons because they were already educated and highly advanced in knowledge. Rather, these instructions were meant for sannyasis who intend to become advanced devotees. Sannyasis must abide by Lord Rishabhdev's instructions while on the path of devotional service. Lord Rishabhdev retired from family life and lived like a naked madman even while still with his family.
Okay, I think we'll read on. That's pretty much story one.
Text 29. Chadanda Mukha Badhira Pisa Chon Mada Kavad. Avaduta Vesho Piva Pibadasya Mano Pi Janam Krihita Moha Pratas Tushim Babuva. After accepting the feature of Avaduta, a great saintly person without material cares, Lord Rishabdev passed through human society like a blind, deaf, and dumb man, an idol stone, a ghost, or a madman. Although people called him such names, he remained silent and did not speak to anyone. Purport. The word Avaduta refers to one who does not care for social conventions, particularly the Varnashram Dharma. However such a person may be situated fully within himself and be satisfied with the Supreme Personality of Godhead on whom he meditates. In other words, one who has surpassed the rules and regulations of Varnashram Dharma is called Avaduta. Such a person has already surpassed the clutches of Maya, and he lives completely separate and independent. Okay, we'll read the next verse as well. Tatra tatra pulugrama karma keta vata karavata shibira prajakosha sata iri varasnama dish vanu patam Avinichara Pasadaya Pari Buyamano Makshikabhir Iva Vena Gajas Tarajana Tadana Vama Vamahe Ven Vamehana Stevana Grava Sakrid Raja Prakshepa Puti Vata Duruk Tristad Avignanayam Eva sat samstana etasmin teho palakshane sad apadesha abhayaranu bhava svarupena svamahima vastanena samalopita. Oh, that's a long word, that one. Mahima vastanena samalopita. Mama bimana tvad avigandita manaha prithivim ekachara paribhavrama. Okay. Rishabdev began to tour through cities, villages, mines, countrysides, valleys, gardens, military camps, cowpens, the homes of cowherd men, transient hotels, hills, forests, and hermitages. Wherever he travelled, all bad elements surrounding him, just as flies surround the body of an elephant coming from a forest. Wherever he travelled, all bad elements surrounded him, just as flies surround the body of an elephant coming from a forest. He was always being threatened, beaten, urinated upon, and spat upon. Wow. Dramatic, eh? Sometimes people threw stones, stool, and dust at him, and sometimes people passed foul air before him. Thus people called him many bad names and gave him a great deal of trouble, but he did not care about this. For he understood that the body is simply meant for such an end. He was situated on a spiritual platform, and being in his spiritual glory, he did not care for all these material insults. In other words, he completely understood that matter and spirit are separate, and he had no bodily conception. Thus, without being angry at anyone, he walked through the whole world alone. Should I wear that garland, Bridget? I just can't. My eyes are spinning all over. Really. Is there any tissues up there, please? Tissues?
really suffering from allergies this year or something. Nice flowers. Ooh. That one was stinging. Okay. Purple. Nahandas Thakur says, Deha Smriti Nahiya Samsara Bandhana Kahantar. When a person fully realizes that the material body and world are temporary, he is not concerned with pain and pleasures of the body. As Sri Krishna advises in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 2, text 14, Matra Sarasa Sukunteya Sitoshna Sukutukutaka Agama Vayaram Nitya Stam Sutiksha Svaparata. Oh, yeah, great. Some sort. Thank you. I feel better now, just taking the garment off. Amazing how that works. I say, Kunti, the non-permanent appearance of happiness and distress and their disappearance in due course are like the appearance and disappearance of winter and summer seasons. They arise from sense perception of Sayana Bharata, and one must learn to tolerate them without being disturbed. As far as Rishabhdev is concerned, it has already been explained, Idam Sarinam Mama Durvir Bhavyam. He did not at all possess a material body, and therefore he was tolerant of all the trouble offered to him by the bad elements in society. Consequently, he could tolerate people's throwing straw and dust upon him and beating him. His body was transcendental, and consequently he did not at all suffer pain. He was always situated in his spiritual bliss, as stated in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 18, text 61. It's Paraha, Sabhabhutanam, Riddhesh Ajuna Tishtati, Brahmayan Sabhabhutani, Yantra Rudhani Mayaya. The Supreme Lord is situated in everyone's heart, O Arjuna, and is directing the wanderings of all living entities who are seated as on a machine made of material energy. Since the Lord is situated in everyone's heart, he's in the heart of hogs and dogs also. If hogs and dogs in their material bodies live in filthy places, one should not think that the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his Paramatma feature also lives in a filthy place. Although Lord Rishabhdev was maltreated by the bad elements of the world, he was not at all affected. Therefore, it is stated here, Sva Mahima Avastanina. He was situated in his own glory. He was never saddened due to being insulted in the many ways described above. Oh, Adhyana Tiriyandasya Kiranjana Salakaya Chakshurum Militam Jena Tasmahe Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Vistam Stapitam Dina Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kada Mahayam Dati Svabhutantikam Mukam Karoti Vachanam Pramukam Gayate Jare Yat Kripa Tamaham Bande Sri Gurum Dina Tarayam. So, Rishabhdev is an avadut, and uh, Prabhupada mentions here, the word avaduta refers to one who does not care for social conventions, particularly the Varnashram Parama. However, this is, you know, the purpose of the Varnashram Parama is to attain self-realization. So, Prabhupada says that, however, such a person may be situated fully within himself and be satisfied with the Supreme Personality of Godhead on whom he meditates. So, you know, the purpose of the Varnashram Dharma is to come to this point of self-realization. But then, when one has fully situated in that position, then it's no longer required. Prabhupada says that one surpasses the rules and regulations of Varnashram Dharma. And Prabhupada quotes here, Narottam Das Thakur, Deha Smriti Nahiya. Samsara Bandana Kapanta. So, when a person realizes their transcendental position, their spiritual position, their original position. And transcendental means above the modes of material nature, beyond the material state of being, to the point of transcendence. Then Narottam Das Thakur says, when a person fully realizes that the material body and world are temporary, he is not concerned with pain and pleasures of the body. Now, very, very advanced. Very advanced. And because of that position of self-realization, then fully detached from the body, not to be imitated. Not to be imitated. Not to be imitated. And Prabhupada quotes, Matras Pasas to Kunteya, Sittoshna Sukhutukitaha, Agama Payo Nityas Tongues to Tikshasva, Bharata. One must learn to tolerate the comings and goings of the material world. And especially in this very detached condition, this position of self-realization, the understanding of one's identity as separate from the body is fully manifest in such a character like Vishuddhi, fully manifest. And so he's not even, practically speaking, according to this description, not even aware of these things, practically speaking. And that means then fully Ubaya Anubhava Swarupena. Understands the proper relationship between the soul and the body and the difference between the two. You know, Prabhupada gives the example of the spirit soul being like being pure, like water that falls from a cloud in the sky. But when the water falls onto the earth, then it mixes with the earth. And even though there are two separate energies, if you like, two separate items, the water and the dirt, right? Water and the earth, when they combine, then we get mud. And so they're mixed up. And it's very difficult to perceive the difference between the water and the dirt. It's muddy. The presence of water is observed, right? But distinguish the difference between the two is almost impossible. But we know that there are two separate elements even within the mixing of the dirt, the mud. There are two separate elements. So, in conditioned life, in materially conditioned life, the water is so mixed up with the dirt. In other words, the pure spirit soul is so mixed up with the material elements of the body, and because of the covering of ignorance, it's impossible for the living entity to perceive the difference between the two. Although we can. You know, we can, in certain circumstances, we're able to see it starkly. Like the other day, we went to Balabhadra's funeral. Right? And his body was there. Right? So, and it looks like him. The form of the person that we knew was there. But the soul was gone. And so even though the body was there, we can see the person wasn't. And so we say he's gone. He's not there. The person is not there. Despite the fact that the material elements, the material manifestation of that individual is present, we can see he's not there. So the very stark appreciation or understanding of the difference between material and spiritual. When the spiritual is not there, we just have dull matter. Prabhupada gives the example of, you know, even the form, the attractive form of a woman, when the spirit soul is not present, is not attractive to anybody. So the real attractiveness, the real attraction is the presence of the soul. That's what makes anybody attractive, is the presence. As soon as this soul is gone, So, in the conditioned state, in that covered state, where the pure essence of the pure water is mixed up with the dirt, then for one who's not spiritually advanced, very difficult to separate the two. Very difficult to separate the two. But for a very, very advanced individual like Rishabh Dev, his meditation was purely on his spiritual identity and above and beyond the workings of his physical material body. Purely spiritual. And you know, we see that in personalities like Raghunath Das. So, for example, Raghunath Das was completely absorbed in his spiritual, in his siddhateha, his pure spiritual form. And you know, it's said that Raghunath Das hardly ever slept, hardly ever ate, didn't need to, fully nourished by his spiritual realization. Didn't need to worry about looking after the body, because he but you know, a few drops of buttermilk or some charanamrita every few days, or, you know, very, very detached, very detached. Right. Now, ordinarily, you know, if we try to do something like that, we'll just, you know, go nuts or be very hungry. And so, you know, this kind of, you know, this elevated position is rarely achieved. Samaha Masadurullah. Idam Sariram Mamadurvipavyam. He didn't possess a material body. Practice making his body spiritual. And you can see that by his aloofness, even though. And we also see this in the character of Sukadeva Goswami. Sukadeva Goswami also avadhoot. Right? When Sukadeva Goswami heard the Srimad Bhagavatam from his father Srila Vyasadeva, he just left home. But he'd already been in the womb of his mother for 16 years old. And then he just left completely to the distress of his father, who wanted to, you know, perform all the various rituals and so forth that would ordinarily be performed at the birth of a child, right? In the Varnashram system, then these samskaras would ordinarily be performed. Right? Ordinarily they'd be performed. Just what it's interesting to note that at the birth of Christ, we have what they call, well, we don't, but the traditional Christian celebration of Christmas is Advent, and in Advent you perform austerities, you fast, there's certain food that you don't eat, there's things that you don't do. It's a time of penance and austerity. And then on Christmas Day, the birth of Jesus, then it's a big celebration. Right? Big celebration. And then there's what they call the 12 days of Christmas. And in those days, there's the name-giving ceremony. There's the three wise men came and gave their blessings and so. So there's all these different celebrations to commemorate the birth of Christ. And we also see that in most religious traditions. There's the austerities that are performed, and then the celebrations with the festivities and the feasts and so forth. And so these rituals are performed. Vyasadeva wanted to perform these ceremonies for Sukadeva Goswami, but he just left completely avadhoot. He heard the Srimad, he was already on the self-realized platform. Already on the self-realized platform. And then when he heard the Srimad Bhagavatam, then he was completely absorbed in prema, bhakti, in his, and you see in the description of Sukadeva Goswami as he's coming to Namasharanya. Is it Sukadeva Goswami in Namasharanya? Yes. Or was it the sages were at Namasharanya? Sukadeva Goswami was on the banks of the river Ganges in Hastinapur, wasn't it? Or nearby, when he spoke the Bhagavatam. But the description of him arriving was he was surrounded by women and children and others basically insulting him. Because the presentation, their presentation is completely, you know, they've got no, they're just totally detached. So they're not wearing any clothes, they've got long hair, you know, they haven't had a shower or anything. And so externally they appear like vagabonds. This is what the other two, you know, misunderstood effectively by people, because most people in a mature, you know, in a mature conception of life are looking for the externals. They're looking at the external position, right? And we see here with Rishabh Dev and also with Sri Sukadeva Swami, the Avaduta's position is easily misunderstood because they're not on the material, their consciousness is not on the material platform. It's purely on the spiritual platform. So their meditation is entirely within. Atmarama, fully self-satisfied in their in the realization of their spiritual identity, but misunderstood by the common people. Misunderstood, very often misunderstood. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna talks about the night time of the materialists. Even their daytime is night time. and for the transcendentalists, the activities of the materialists are like night, and the activities of the transcendentalists and the materialists, they are also like darkness, because you know they wake up early in the morning. The materialist likes to sleep in and dream, you know, and enjoy themselves in material activities, dreaming about their material pursuits at night, and then pursuing those dreams in the daytime. And this is like darkness for the transcendentalists. The activities of the transcendentalists, which are meant for cultivating spiritual knowledge and spiritual understanding, like darkness for the materialists. Why wake up so early in the morning when you should be sleeping? And then in the daytime, you're not pursuing material activities like us. You're engaged in performing austerities and penances, or serving Krishna effectively with no material consideration. The devotees are very difficult to understand, because they rise early in the morning, they chant Hare Krishna, then they're happy to go and work hard for Krishna, and they're not looking for anything for themselves. Whereas the materialists, they're working hard just for themselves and for their own sense gratification. So this is the activities of the transcendentalists are a huge challenge for the materialistic people. Clash. And so then they mock the devotees. They mock the devotees. Criticize them. Threatened, beaten, urinated upon, spat upon. Can you imagine? Called bad names. Because we experience it sometimes. And he had beaten people through stone, stool, and dust. So, practically speaking, this can't be imitated. Realistically, you can't. But this illustrates the very, very elevated position of Rishabh Dev. Completely detached, like Haridas Thakur. Haridas Thakur was beaten in 26 marketplaces, but oblivious to the wounds and the pain that was being inflicted on his interior body. Basically because fully understanding, not the body, aham brahmasmi, that I'm purely spiritual by nature and I'm not the body. It's almost inconceivable. How one can be situated on this transcendental platform. So, He didn't possess into a body that's the body fully engaged in devotional service. Like Prabhupada gives the example of an iron rod being heated up in the fire, and then in the fire the iron rod then acts like fire. Right? So when you touch something, it burns. Right? So similarly also, the body of a devotee engaged in devotional service, even though it appears to be, he appears to be in and of the material world, actually, because the mind and heart of a devotee is fully absorbed in devotional service, then that engagement in purely spiritual activities then purifies even the material elements of the body. Which is why we don't, why the sannyasis are not cremated, right? They're put into samadhi, because that purification of the body has already taken place by the fire of devotional service. Right? And so then the so-called material body is no longer material, it is purely spiritualized by the performance of devotional service. And so therefore, you know, that meditation, that self-realization and that detachment is when it's manifest in the character or in the personality of a devotee, then there's no need for the observance of Varnashram principles, right? Because he's achieved the purpose. But that sense of that self-realization is easily misunderstood by materialistic people. So, you know, it could be said, why don't we follow in the footsteps of Rishabha? But we don't. Our Gaudiya culture is exemplified by personalities like the six Goswamis. Even the six Goswamis, some of their behaviour wouldn't be appropriate, or not, wouldn't say appropriate, would be easily misunderstood in this day and age. So Prabhupada makes a point that even if a devotee is a Paramahansa and is fully detached, like we see here, in the consideration of the preaching mission, they would still behave as if an ordinary person. So for us, you know, we do see personality, Vansidas Babaji and even Gorky Shore Das Babaji, Jagannath Das Babaji, Gorky Shore Das Babaji, Vansidas Babaji, we see this Avadutta personality manifest. But in that context, in the context of you know, Bengali society in which they live, those personalities, well, they'd be surprised at some of the things that Jagannath Das Babaji did, were challenging for his disciples and for the ordinary people. So Prabhupada and Rupa Goswami does make a comment that those devotees who are elevated to the point of Paramahamsa, Parivrajikacharya, or beyond, still, or shall we say, Mahabhagavats, very elevated and exalted persons who don't need to follow the rules and regulations of Varnashram, but still do in order to preach, in order to teach, in order to set an example. Because, you know, we see crazy fellows who love to walk around with no clothes on and, you know, just be, you know, unfettered by any material consideration. But they're not doesn't mean necessarily they're advanced. If somebody manifests these symptoms, doesn't mean automatically that they're advanced. In Vrindavan, people would come to Vrindavan and they, you know, roll on the floor in ecstasy and carry on. Of course, afterwards go outside and smoke a biggie, right? And the devotees would say, Prabhupada, what should we do with these people? You know, and Prabhupada said, kick them in the head. Kick them in the head. And if they don't respond, then they're on the dutta. But generally speaking, you know, we're not encouraged to, you know, become other duties. Well, we're not other duties in any case. We're following the regulated principles of bhakti. We elevate it, so we should stick to that. And even if we do become very, very elevated, then, you know, in this day and age, and because we are Goshi Anandi, not a Vajranandi, we're preachers, then the very elevated Mahabhagavat comes down to the Madhyam platform for the benefit of everybody. Well, this is Prabhupada recommended that even if you are Rupa Goswami also in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, that in order to benefit everybody and to set the example, the very exalted Mahabhagavats come down to the Madhyam platform. The Madhyam platform, which is the platform that we're all encouraged to come to, is following the rules and regulations effectively of Sadhana Bhakti. And, you know, keep your clothes on. Imagine the chaos that would ensue if we had a few, you know, Paramahamsas or other duties like Rishabh Dave walking around the place, just totally bewildering for everybody. Yeah. Totally bewildering. But I guess, you know, we should understand the symptoms of another dude. Right? And so they may be detached and looking like a vagabond, but the test is their attachment to Krishna. Right? And in a person like this, that may not even be very obvious. Right? It may not be obvious, but they don't say anything. They don't say anything, they don't reveal their exalted personality readily. Although, in the association of the devotees, that is manifest. Matschita vikata prana vadayata parasparam katayantascha mamni chantus yanti chara manti chara. So, you know, and other, as we can see here in Bhagavatam, there are symptoms of Avadut, and those symptoms is Mahabhagavat, a very exalted, elevated devotee. And so then we have to see the symptoms of a devotee in anybody who's presenting. We should be aware of these things. And that's what Bhagavatam is for. Bhagavatam is teaching us the qualities of the devotee and the symptoms of the devotee, so that we can cultivate them in ourselves, recognize them in others, importantly, and then take advantage. And you know, in the Bhagavatam, we're taking advantage of Rishabh Dev's presence through his teachings and his activities, his example. But not to be imitated. Especially not in this day and age. You know, we see in Prabhupada's example, you know, pretty much always clean shaven. There are a few, you know, I've got pictures where Prabhupada's been travelling or he's in India, chocolate mushroom or whatever. But practically speaking, you'll see Prabhupada always dressed neatly and cleanly, always ready to present Krishna consciousness to others, always with a tonsure, head and face shaved, right? Or, you know, you never see Prabhupada with a beard, although beards are fashionable now in this kind, I notice. Fashionable to have a beard, you know, maybe tie your seeker up, circles, have long hair and then you tie your seeker up. Look like Vyasadeva in the Bhagavatam. The pictures of the Bhagavatam, right? But that's not our culture, actually. Our culture, if we're following the footsteps of our guru, our culture is neat, clean, tidy. Clean shaven, clean. Or as Prabhupada said, shave up once a month. Because he also said, you're a young man, I'm an old man, I can't tell you what to do. But we learn by example. Right? So the emblem or the symbol of a very advanced devotee in our culture, the ISKCON culture, is exemplified by Srila Prabhupada. And so we don't, even though Prabhupada is detached, and the most important thing that he, the example that he set, is that he followed the instructions of his spiritual master. And followed in his footsteps in terms of the preaching. And in one sense, you know, he's a yukta vairagi rather than a, you know, a jagi, if you like. Nyas, I don't know, sannyas. But renounced to the point where he sees everything in relationship with Krishna and then uses it accordingly.
Hanuman and Krishna Das. And Hanuman's in Spain, Krishna Das is in Toronto, or lives near Toronto. And, you know, the devotees purchased a church, right, sizable church in Toronto. And then when Prabhupada revisited, he came into the temple room and he asked the devotees, what did you do with the pews, the seats? And the devotees had taken the seats out of the pews out of the church. And Prabhupada was upset. He said, well, I wanted to keep the seats. The devotees wanted space to keep them. And Prabhupada wanted the pews so the people could come and hear the Bhagavatam and sit down. So Prabhupada was, you know, he saw everything with a particular perspective, usually Krishna service. Allow people to come to the temple and let them sit down and hear. Which is most important, you know, hearing is the most important thing. Hearing the Bhagavatam, hearing the Bhagavad Gita, hearing the Gita. So, you know, this following in the footsteps and this, you know, this, I forgot what the Sanskrit term is, but, you know, there's imitation and there's following. And both look similar, or the same. But the follower understands the essence or the mood of the previous acharyas and of the founder acharya, especially in ISKCON, and follows in the footsteps rather than imitates the behavior, if you like. So in ISKCON, the manifestation of advancement is not necessarily in the form of a beard. If Prabhupada is anything to go by. But rather, you know, preaching is the essence, not showing off. Right? I was talking to a devotee the other day, and he wasn't wearing his... Well, he was wearing his mask, but he had a big beard. And I said, what are you going to... And I said, what are you wearing your beard for? He says, I'm following Chaturmasya. But you know, Chaturmasya means some serious austerity, you know. One meal a day that you eat off the floor. Right? Khichdi or something, you know, something really bland, khichdi. And then you eat off the floor with your hands behind your back. And if you raise your head at any time, that's it, finished, the meal's done. Not, you know, growing a beard because you're too lazy to shave. And then you say, oh, I'm following Chaturmasya. Okay, how about the one meal a day rule? Oh, I'm not doing that. Yep. So, no imitating, but following. Okay. Dhanarachana Bhavata Any comments or questions? Not a magic.
Just try to understand.
Just take your mask off so I can hear you better. You're far enough away.
Just try to understand the process of the body, the internal transcendental mood of the Anuruddha.
The process?
Yeah, because the previous text also described some tips that can be applicable for everybody who's following a spiritual process.
Yeah.
For example, perhaps two texts before, when Krishna is explaining that try to offer respect to others by seeing constant every time respect to others, by seeing Krishna in the heart of them.
Yeah.
So try to understand that vision of the devotee, how, for example, he's facing those apparent tribulations or difficulties, external things. Like, for example, people insulting him or mistreating him. So that vision of seeing others in that platform help him to not being disturbed. It's not just transcendental myself, it's also seeing the functionality of interaction with your environment.
Mm.
And so that application in all activities, the daily activities.
Mm.
And can be a way of also being about in a sense, because it's not just external, it's a deep understanding of things. Mm. So it's,
yes.
Just trying to be
like how to be like that?
Well, we should. It's part of the process. Yeah.
Well, see, the interesting thing is that anybody can achieve this. Right? Anybody. And Prabhupada says that anybody who takes the process of hearing and chanting and, you know, sadhana bhakti can come, be elevated to this platform. Certainly be elevated to the platform of Krishna consciousness, right? Now, the conundrum, the challenge is how do we manifest this advancement of Krishna consciousness?
If you allow me, I was thinking in that way too, in the sense that two factors, we are individual souls. So
in what?
Individuals.
Oh, individuals.
So this experience of a relationship with God and Krishna, our experience of the spiritual process as well, how it's expressed. Of course, at the same time, we have parameters of behavior. So that we should be exchanged.
And
we have different also processes regarding our tendencies. And in our Brahma Gaudiya Sampradaya, for example, it's not by chance that we are following this process or we are in connection with this. So somehow or another, the expression of that transcendental stage. It's set in this mood, so and it would be like a collective and individual at the same time.
Yeah. Well, I think there's a couple of important considerations that have to be made here. Rishabh Dev is an incarnation of the personality of Godhead, isn't he? In a partial form. Right? So he's unique, he's exceptional. And so then he models or he exhibits behavior that is, you know, just beyond most ordinary people. He's exceptional, in other words. And so that sense then, and because we're ordinary people, and we're conditioned by the material nature, ordinarily, but have been given Prabhupada's mercy, Lord Chaitanya's mercy, and in a particular context, in the context of Kali Yuga, you know, 2021 or whatever, then we actually follow the Varnashram system. We actually follow it. And the reason why we follow it is because that gives structure and order to society. And structure and order in society for ordinary people, like you and me, to make spiritual advancement. And our advancement really is dependent on our sadhana and the kripa of the guru, of the spiritual master. But that mercy is actually the sadhana process. And so, you know, we, in looking at the behavior of Rishabh Dev, we really have to understand the exceptional nature and character of his personality and who he is and what his teachings actually are. And then applying those in our context is we're sadhakas. Right. We're not going to attain this kind of realization in our lives. No, we're not. And safe to say we're not. We're just ordinary devotees, right? Who have their ups and downs. He's completely transcendental, right? Completely detached. So it'd be unusual. And in fact, you know, we see devotees who try to imitate this fall down eventually. You know, that's what happens. So we don't imitate. Just like, you know, we don't imitate Lord Shiva, we don't imitate Krishna. We follow them, but we don't imitate their behavior. So, you know, Krishna is the supreme transcendental personality of Godhead. He can have 16,108 wives and be completely detached from them, but at the same time completely, you know, provide for all of their needs. We are not going to do that. Just the same as we're not going to be a Rishabh Dev. We're just not going to be. And so therefore, we need to discriminatingly understand what Rishabh Dev is telling us, and that's before these instructions. But in order to illustrate how elevated he was, and we see also this, the manifestation of his behaviour. But in our setting, if we want to follow somebody, then we follow Prabhupada.
It's quite interesting when in your class you presented three different aspects of Avadutta's so-called Avadutta stage, we can say. And for example, a high platform represented by Rishabhadev, Krishna himself, that full expression of that stage and that power. But also you mentioned Sukadeva Goswami, that we can see another level of that experience of transcendentalism, him. Yeah. And also you mentioned something more proximal to us, Sukadeva Goswami. So different levels,
yeah.
It's contextual, as I said.
Contextual, and that's why we have to appreciate the teachings of Rishabh Dev through the lens of Prabhupada's vision and his application of spiritual practice in this day and age. And it's sankirtan. Or it's sadhana bhakti and sankirtan. That's our context. Right. Why the Chaitanya Charitamrita is so important for us? Because the Chaitanya Charitamrita demonstrates through Lord Chaitanya's pastimes and his followers the manifestation of spiritual practice in this age. What do we do? How do we do it? Right. So, you know, you don't give up the fact that you're a Chatri, you don't give up the fact that you're a Sudra, you keep applying those activities appropriately according to, you know, the setting that we're in. But we do those things with the aim of supporting our spiritual practice. Yeah, spiritual practice is the most important thing. So, you know, we need to view these things through the prism of Srila Prabhupada's vision, if you like. And that's why studying his books, and especially in this particular case, or in our practical day-to-day lives, looking at the Chaitanya Charitamrita, you know, the living force in action, and practically then applying these spiritual principles to our lives in the current context. We're not going to be like Rishabh Dev. That's just. But some of the principles that he's. Well, and it's interesting here because Prabhupada says these instructions are for sannyasis. Right? That doesn't mean that we can't take advantage of them either, by the way, because, you know, it is mentioned that there are. In the Nectar of Instruction, it's mentioned by Bhaktivinoda Thakur that there are two types of instructions in the Nectar of Instruction. Those for the ordinary devotees, or those for the householders effectively, and those for the sannyasis. Right? And so we need to be able to understand the instructions that are, and the instructions are appropriate to our situation, whether we're householders or renunciates, effectively that's what it is. And that's why, that's exhibited in the Chaitanya Charitamrita.
That's the dynamic of the importance of the spirit of the principle, the essence, and the form, the application, according also to
the.
Because sannyasi also is a mood. It's not just an external aspect. It's a mood that every ashrama in one way,
yes,
should practice.
Yes.
As a mood, as essence.
Yeah. Everything belongs to Krishna. That's real sannyas. Not me. Idam Krishna, idam na mama. This is the Krishna, it's not for me. But that also applies to the householders as well. All right, let's finish, shall we? Hare Krishna, Guru Prabhupada, Ki Jai. Rishabh Dev, Ki Jai. Oh, Lord Rishabh Dev, Ki Jai.